please step right up. The show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cups. Here's to this moment, it will never happen again.
This is Offstage and On the Air, performance number 504. I am Lisa Sheps, along with co-host Nicole Shiro.
Hello!
Welcome back. And also along with our brand new apprentice, Rebecca Melanson.
Hello, hello.
You're listening to us on KOOP HD1 HD3 Hornsby. Remember, if it's theater, it's on Offstage and On the Air. You better stay right where you are.
Show's about to begin. Forget your troubles and raise your cup. Step right up, feast your eyes on the wonders of this world. Oh yeah.
It must be nice, it must be nice to have Washington on your side. It must be nice, it must be nice to have Washington on your side. Look back at the...
It is Wednesday, February 20th, 2019. On the show today, we have The Hidden Room and their show The Rover. Also, Zach Theater will be here, and their show, Hedwig and the Angry Inch, and also our very dear friends from Austin Shakespeare and their show, Indian Eek. And of course, we'll have lively discussions of the world of theater in New York, Austin, Chicago, and points west. Don't go away.
Somebody has to stand up for the South. Somebody has to stand up to his mouth. If there's a fire you're trying to douse, you can't put it out from inside.
Whoop. Okay, that was a fast fade, but that was good. We like that fade. So, hey, everybody. Nicole, we're back. We haven't been together in a
Lisa,
month.
Lisa, Shiro and Sheps.
Shiro and Sheps
and Shiro.
Look at us. How great we are.
Reunited.
While we're talking, I'm sitting here.
It feels so good.
Reunited, and it feels so good. And we have Rebecca Melanson. How are you?
Melanson.
You're here. And you're speaking from our famous cabaret microphone.
I should do something.
You've got to do a number.
You should.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this where I tell you that I'm tone deaf and can't sing?
Yeah, try it anyway. Okay. That's our favorite kind. There you go. So checking in with Miss Nicole Shiro. How are you?
I'm here. I'm good.
You're here. You're well. You sound good.
Man, I was sick.
Yeah, you are sick.
I'm sick in the head. That is not a debate.
That's true.
Yeah, no. Woo.
Well, once again, I'd like to thank Kim Simpson for a lovely, lovely show.
The International Folk Bazaar. Always good.
Let's introduce the folks that are here. And everybody's sitting and everybody's so far away from a microphone. I'm not sure this is going to work very easily. Y'all are going to have
but
to jump up and
studious.
Run to the microphone.
It's a fun bunch.
And here, somebody can take this cabaret microphone. We have a co-host extraordinaire, Ms. Ann Ciccolella.
Hello.
We have Cesar Arsario.
Hello.
Oh, you're over there. Sorry. Hold on. Tamil. Oh, Pirasani. No, wait. Stick with me. Pirasami.
Not even close, but thank you.
What is that? Help me.
Periasami.
Well, that was close. Take that back. Take that back. We have Miss Amber Quick. Hi, Amber.
Hi.
We have Liz Beckham. Oh, Beth Burns, you did sneak in there.
Hi.
You weren't here a moment ago. And finally, we have Daniel Rowan.
Hello.
Hello. Buenos dias. Welcome, everybody. I love this. I think this may be the first time that
we've got
an audience in here.
I know. Yeah, I think this is interesting.
I don't know that this has ever happened before.
I didn't stretch beforehand.
No.
I'm like, woo.
So I played, I don't know if y'all recognize that song. For anybody recognize that song? What show it's from?
Well, I mean...
Oh, come on, please,
you
guys. It's
that show no one goes to.
Yeah, it's not well known. It's a new show called Hamilton.
Yeah, I know.
The New Wicked.
the new Wicked. So I played that song.
I know why.
Tell us why.
Because of what happened in San Francisco?
San Francisco.
A man had a heart attack.
Well, it was a confluence of lots of things.
Yes, but everyone...
And it was a woman.
It was
had
a
the
woman.
Heart attack.
Oh, I thought it was a man. It was a woman. A person.
A confluence of several things. Right after the moment where Alexander Hamilton is, spoiler alert, shot by Aaron Burr, a woman suffered a heart attack. And then somewhere else in the theater, almost at the same time, a young man had a seizure. And then someone saw, heard the gunfire from the stage, saw the woman have a heart attack, and yelled, gun. And somebody else pulled the emergency switch, which created all the flashing lights.
And the alarms and going
panic
off.
Panic ensued.
There were, I think there were 6 people that got hospitalized
three
from
people.
Being trampled over.
Yeah, 3 people were injured.
Mm-hmm.
So that happened in San Francisco, and it brings up so many things to think about. I just went to see at a little place called the Bass Concert Hall. Has anybody ever heard of that? Yeah. Well, no, it's here in Austin, I swear. The Bass Concert Hall. And, you know, security has gotten so tight here. And at Bass...
It's not just here.
It's everywhere.
Yeah. We're just
but
not used to it.
Oddly enough, our security here is more tight than it is on Broadway. So mm-hmm. Broadway, they do a cursory look in your bag and shift you on through. Here now at the Bass Concert Hall, we have to have clear bags... or very tiny itsy bags. I actually put everything in my pockets and it freaked me out because I had a little jacket and I was just afraid everything was going to fall out. But that's a whole nother story for another show. I can't find my little... here it is. I'm very, very organized, you guys. Very organized. So when I showed up to see Anastasia last week, the lines were from the doors of... the theater all the way to the street. Never seen it like that before. I mean, they've been long lines, and it's just amazing, and it's so sad to me that we live in a society where we have to do that.
I'm going to say this. Most cities have been doing this for 4 to 5 years. We just had this all be implemented past sports in the last year. So, UT games, that's been going on forever, NFL, like, all that stuff. But all concerts are like that now. I was actually surprised at Madison Square Garden for Justin Timberlake. Yeah. My cousin's like, why do you have this teeny clear bag? I'm like, I have to have it for the marathon. I have to have it for football. And I didn't need it there clear, but I did need the small size.
Regardless of where, when, and how it happened, I find it sad.
It stinks. I never said
well,
it
I don't
good.
Think it's... I mean, stinks. It's just sad. It's a sad commentary on where we are as a people. And I just... find that sad. But anyway, very interesting article. You can find a link to it at offstageonair.com.
Did you like Anastasia? Ba-ba-da.
On to the next subject. Actually, I will talk about Anastasia since it's already gone. Did you see it?
No.
And the costumes were gorgeous. The set was very interesting. So most of the scene changes were done by an LED wall along the back, and to the two downstage legs had LED walls. And these were the highest definition LED walls I've ever seen. But one of the, and again, I kind of find this sad, but I like it at the same time. So when we're used to having a musical that's got a backdrop that's static, and so you've got the streets of London and the smokestacks are there, but everything's just there. So all those kind of backdrops were part of this, but the smokestacks moved, the clouds are moving, airplanes came through in 1910. I'm lying about the airplanes. But other than that, I could live without Anastasia. I didn't find the music memorable.
How did you feel about the LED screens? Because I've seen a production of Dirty Dancing Live on stage that implemented the same.
I love it as
title too. You can't say it. You can't shorten it.
Yeah, I love it as a scenic element. In this case, it was used strictly as a backdrop, and they used it well. For instance, when they would bring in actual drops in front of it, the two LEDs on the legs would bring in a television drop in front, so it would look like the drop is everywhere. When I like it when it's used more creatively, as much as I did not like Spider-Man Turn Off the Dark, their use of LED, every leg was an LED. There was like LED everywhere, and it was really cool what they did
with it. At the time, it was the world's largest LED screen on stage. Interestingly enough, a lot of the Broadway shows have it now, not just the touring. So Mean Girls, I was just backstage with Morgan at Mean Girls, and the entire set is LEDs, and it's made up of these teeny little ones. King Kong the Musical, the entire, minus the puppet.
Yeah.
It's a giant LED screen, and it worked really well for the boat scene, and then it was just awful all the other times.
So everybody seems to be doing it now, and it's a good, or projection. I'm guilty in my own theater of using projection. I can't afford a set. I know, I'll throw a picture of a sofa up there. People will just pretend to sit in front of it.
That'd be kind of a fun show, actually.
I am gonna.
It's a cool concept.
Just decided
when you think
that's going to be my next show. All the furniture is going to be two dimensional.
But that's kind of that's kind of fun.
Yeah,
there were walls painted like that in Hong Kong, and my brother and I pretended like we were sitting and doing all, and it was a lot of fun. I'd go to that.
Yeah, me too. All right, so that's the only thing we get to talk about. I do want to talk about this because this is a good group discussion because all of you are sitting and so captive and close to microphones. So we've talked a lot about on this show about people, you know, doing the right thing. We talk about Patti LuPone yelling at people for cell phones and other people breaking character, breaking the fourth wall to admonish the theater goers, the audience. So Jake Gyllenhaal did this last week. Did you see this?
Yeah, that's what I was wondering. I was like looking on the list. I'm like,
so
he
was performing in his show Seawall / A Life at the Public Theater. And there was a woman relatively close to the front row, I'm guessing, but close to the front, who was coughing. So in the middle of a monologue, he stopped and he looked at her and he said, "Are you okay?" And she says, "I'm fine. Keep going." Good audience member. And he says, "No, I'll be back." And he went off stage to get her some water.
Oh, man.
I say no to that one.
Nah.
His heart was in the right place, but you're there to do a job, and your job is to stay in character.
Yeah.
Right? You disagree. Daniel.
Your
Daniel?
Job as an audience member is to be a good audience member.
Somebody having a coughing fit is not their fault.
Then leave the theater.
You get up and leave. I would never have the coughing fit in the
Absolutely.
Theater.
Right, but
I mean,
so...
You can't help it, but you should...
So you believe it's okay for an actor to break character, break the fourth wall...
Well, I think it is.
In order to,
I was like,
to,
as Hedwig, you as can Hedwig, yell right. at someone.
But you don't have a fourth wall in Hedwig,
no,
so that's
no.
that doesn't count. So that, but if you've got a show that's got a fourth wall,
if it is very distracting, I think you do have authority to just like to stop and pause for a moment.
I so disagree with you. So that's good. Let's arm wrestle. No, I think that so there are other people that are should be there to handle things like this. We talk about Nicole talks about this all the time. The house management is supposed to be there to manage the house.
Yeah, there's
the actor's job. The actor's job is
to
act.
I totally agree.
So to break character is so for me as another audience member. If you break character, you've just taken me out of the show.
But
if
it,
how long is it?
Yeah, I can agree with that.
Where the coughing person isn't going to take me out of the show.
Right.
That's in my audience.
You're totally right.
So. Oh, can you repeat that?
No, but I agree with that.
Yeah.
So I can see that side. Absolutely.
There were times there was one that we applauded. Then there's something. There's a life and death situation.
Yeah. Life and death and stuff like that. But
whole different story.
I mean, I don't think this is like Glenn Close yelling at the jackhammer.
Yeah, it's true.
I mean, that was a little ridiculous. She stopped the show to yell at the jackhammer.
Went on a long time on 47th Street.
Yes,
went on
I know.
For a long time. That was
in the middle of this show, though.
Like, the longest construction work.
Well, I'll tell you what. That was their own fault for having the theater on 47th Street. They should have known
just
better.
Just move the theater.
Pick it up, move it. They're doing that with the Richard Rogers.
I know.
They're doing it with the Palace, too. They're picking it up. And not. They're, just
they're raising it, yeah.
So bizarro. Yeah.
I need to do that with my theater so I can build a basement.
I can play Josh Groban in the background. You raise me up.
Very, very, very quickly. The Michael Jackson.
We talked about the Grobes and you just let it go.
Yeah, because we're. Let it go. Let it go. That's Frozen. Michael Jackson, there was a musical.
Was.
Well, in theory, it's still going. They blamed the strike, the equity strike, which, by the way, is over.
They blamed
the equity strike, but really what it was.
I have my own theory.
Well, I think it's not your own theory. It's everybody's theory, which is they're not coming back. The show, which is produced by the Jacksons, there was a film that was just released at
Sundance
and is being released on HBO next week that talks about two of the boys who have accused Michael Jackson of sexual harassment. And our sexual misconduct. And that movie's coming out. At the same time, this pro-Michael Jackson thing's coming out. It's not gonna happen.
Yeah, they said they're just shelving it for a year or two.
Yeah,
I was like,
which is not going to happen.
I don't know.
Very, very quickly, we're not going to talk about it. Merrily We Roll Along opened. Did you read that review?
No, Anne? I can't read it.
Oh, it's as scathing of a review as I've heard Jesse Green write.
Awful.
Really,
I thought
really
it was like mean at times.
Well, except he I'm starting to like him a little bit. he starts the whole thing by saying, I would subscribe to a theater that just did different productions of Merrily We Roll Along. That's how much I love this thing. And he said, this one by the Fiasco Theater Company, and this is the theater company that takes... They took the Shakespeare play.
Yeah, they make them small. Yes.
And so this is a six-person rendition.
The company is Fiasco?
Yes.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Just in case it is.
Yeah, yeah, they're like six persons, so they do everything together.
So
they bring it on down.
So that's it. We're gonna take a break because I want to make sure we have time to talk to everybody. There's lots of other stuff I want to talk to. For instance, Transparent, the musical, musical. It's going to open soon. And then I just have to talk about this for one second. I hope this doesn't turn out. There's a Chicago philanthropist. Oh, not Chicago philanthropist. It's, what's his name? The chef.
Charlie Trotter?
No, not Charlie Trotter, but that would be
I was
good.
Like, that's an interesting combo, but he is the big Chicago chef.
You
so,
will know
I mean,
it when I find the article. Anyway, he's giving Rick Bayless.
Oh.
He's given a $150,000 grant to three small theaters. And what I love about this is here's a city that's got a person that's got money, started a foundation to help small theaters grow. And that's one of the things that some of our Dillionaires and people should step up and do and give and become patrons and help theaters. There's a lot of them that need help just to get off the ground. So these are getting $150,000 over 3 years. It's $50,000 a year that they just get, and it's not about a program. It's not programmatic. It's about capacity. It's about whatever that theater needs. In most cases, they want to see personnel. So that would so help the struggling theater and theater companies here in this town. And so far, not many local philanthropists are stepping up to do that.
No, and guess what? People have money here in this state.
You know what? I've heard that.
Did you know that?
I did. Do you know?
There are people with some deep pockets, and there are some good people all over this state.
Can you buy me groceries?
Yes.
I can. Let's go to Whole Foods. Oh, I'm sorry. Whole Amazon. All right.
Paycheck.
We're going to
hold paycheck.
We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come back, and we're going to talk to Hidden Room. Let's listen to a little bit of Merrily We Roll Along, shall we?
We shall.
Old friend.
We are back. You're listening to... I can't hear myself in my headphones. I was wondering if I was talking. You're listening to Offstage and On Air here on KOOP with Lisa and Nicole.
Lisa and Nicole.
Nicole and Lisa.
We are here.
We just had... It's a great conversation. I wish we had a lot... You know, one day we're just going to have a free-for-all talk because it's just so much fun.
We have done those before.
We have. But let's switch gears and let's talk to Hidden Room. Who aren't hidden. You're right here.
Can you find them?
So here from Hidden Room, we have Beth Burns. Hi, Beth. Yeah, you know what? It'd help if I turn your microphone on. Go ahead. Say that again.
Hey, it's me.
You are here.
Beth is there.
We have Amber Quick.
Hello.
Cesar Osorio.
Howdy.
Am I pronouncing your last name correctly? Because I didn't ask you before the show.
Yes, Osorio. Osorio, however it comes out.
Osorio, no. We need to try to do the right thing, right?
Yeah. I wish we used to have the cam going all the time. Today would have been a good day.
And Liz Beckham.
Hi.
So, hey. So,
Liz is having none of Lisa today. Hi.
Nobody ever says. No. So, this is The Rover by Afra Ben.
Yeah.
Buy it in stores near you. Afra Ben. Sorry. Afra Ben, who is an old person.
She was. Afra Ben wrote The Rover in 1677. She's
old, is what I'm saying.
First professional female playwright.
Yeah. So tell us about the show. Tell us about the show.
Sure. The show is about a family of noble Spanish women who are all being pushed into categories that they do not wish, that are against their heart, and how they used banished cavaliers who are on the make in Naples at carnival time to get out of those boxes.
Yeah, so when I read that about the Cavaliers, it's going to take a quick little tangent off to one side, because all I could think of was the Dueling Cavalier from Singing in the Rain.
I was like, Singing in the Rain.
I can't stand them.
And this is very much like the Dancing Cavalier, because we've got songs and dancing and all sorts of good
Excellent.
Stuff.
Oh, Pierre, you should. You are sure.
Keep going.
That's it. I'll just go.
I know, that was good.
Better
that was great.
To see it.
Liz Beckham, everybody.
Radio.
radio.
Oh, Peter.
So
that's another thing we've wanted to do in old time radio.
We kind of did with Penfold.
Penfold that one time.
So so that's great. So is this a big spectacular show? Do you have, is it loads of people in your cast?
That's a great question. It's a cast of 20.
Yeah. Wow.
With, these are four or five musicians. I forget.
Cinco.
It's five musicians.
Cinco would be Spanish for five.
See.
And, just showing off.
And big dance numbers. Mm-hmm. In the restoration, it's period appropriate in terms of the restoration, also would have enjoyed a lot of song and dance. And then we've mashed it with 1983.
Of course. Why? Of course.
Yeah, because I think the teen films of 1983, we've got a couple of secretly feminist teen films, same deal. You know, Randy Teens out on the make is secretly feminist.
By the way, that was my sorority name in college.
Randy Teen.
Randy Teen.
That so, was yeah. one of your better names in
Thank
college.
You. I know.
Yeah. The mix. But it actually turns out to be a pretty easy mix to make. The new romantic period of 1983 is pretty restoration.
Russell. Especially with the carnival influence, there's a lot of freedom, I think, with the design aesthetic, which is so fun.
Which Very your cool. stuff always is. So oh, the visual aesthetic and what you guys do is always so much fun. So, Amber, who are you playing in this show? Let's hear who everybody is.
Florinda.
Florinda.
Yes, she's the well-to-do, very put-together, conservative sister of the bunch that...
By sister, do you mean nun or sister of somebody?
No, sister of the pair, Florinda and Helena and Don Pedro are the so one of the main family.
You
houses.
Are on fire today, Lisa. I'm just kind of
But are you ready?
I am.
The other sister is designed to be a sister, so it's the kind of
it's a double entendre.
No.
Yeah, she is has been promised to the nunnery. I have been promised to gain jointure for the family name.
Get and thee then, to a gain jointure, whatever you just said.
Gain jointure.
Gain jointure.
Yeah. Elevate the family name, bring some money into the household. But after a battle, I'm my honor is saved by the dashing Belleville, and she says, maybe I don't want to marry for all of this fortune. Maybe I want to marry because my heart wants to marry this
Good
guy.
Good for you. Go,
I
girl.
I know. It's very sweet.
So, sorry, what's your position in this piece?
Well, my position is I am playing acoustic guitar in the ensemble, but I am also have a small role thanks to Miss Beth Burns.
Yay, Beth Burns.
Generous. And I am a bisky, a bravo to Angelica.
Bisky. Every now and then for breakfast, I cook biscuits. That's a true story.
Caesar and Lizzie do a fantastic cover of Love My Way by the Psychedelic Furs.
Oh my.
I was just about to go, I love that you just got all Psychedelic Furs on me. That's that's awesome.
Oh, it's so
So
good.
Lizzie, who do you play? What do you play? What do you do?
I play so many questions. I play Angelica Bianca, who is a very famous courtesan. And she has recently put herself back on the market after the death of her longtime patron, and she does not spend too much time mourning.
See, even she gets a patron.
She arrives in Naples with her posse, and they get the selling going. But she's kind of a wrench is thrown in the works when she encounters the rover, who is not a customer who can actually pay for her high prices. But she decides to make some concessions.
So this sounds. Oh, sorry.
No, go ahead.
So this sounds like a lot of fun, and I want to make sure we have time. You're going to do a little number for us, yes?
We have time.
So we want to make sure we have time for that. Do we want to set it up? What do we want to do about this number?
Yeah, let's set it up.
Let's
right
set
now.
It up. Set it up.
Do you want to do it right now?
Yeah.
Let's do it.
Yeah. So what's the setup? What's the lead into it? So.
Anybody? Angelica arrives in Naples, and in order to get the bidding going with all of the men of the town, she does a little ditty with her Bravo Bisky.
So this is Liz Beckham and Cesar Osorio doing a number from Hidden Room's production of The Rover.
Thank you. There's an army on the dance floor. It's a fashion with a gun, my love. In a room without a door, a kiss is not enough here.
Of my way,
it's a new road.
Awesome.
That was lovely.
That was awesome.
Woohoo! Wow, how great was that?
The music is so fun.
It sounds like fun. So I've got one very short question because we're already out of time, and then we have to wrap it up. So it's a mashup between the Renaissance and the 80s. Is this scenically mashed up as well?
Costumes are mashed up, props are mashed up. Yeah, it's a pretty clear 1983,
okay. 1677
mash.
And I love it.
You are in a hidden room.
We are in a hidden room.
And so when people make reservations, that's where they find out where the hidden room is?
Hiddenroomtheater.com. That's theater with an R-E.
And is there another way to do it?
Yes.
Not on this show.
Good.
Yep. Hiddenroomtheater.com, running through March 3rd.
Awesome. Well, you just answered all the questions I need to answer. Thank you all so much for being on offstage and on the air.
Thanks for having us.
If some of you can stick around for backstage, that would be groovy. If not, au revoir, as we say in Tali. Okay, that was Beth Burns, Liz Beckham, Amber Quick, and Cesar Osorio with Hidden Room's production of The Rover by Afra Ben. It is in a hidden room through March 3rd. For more information, hiddenroomtheater.com. Okay, we are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa Sheps and Nicole Shiro.
Hello.
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 All right, we're going to do a very quick local section.
And today in theater history.
Although I already folded it up as if we weren't going to do it. But that was a mistake. But here's what I want to talk about locally. First of all, I just need to report. So Ground Floor Theater had a...
That was good.
I love that. Live from...
Lisa shall report.
I'm speechless, which doesn't happen often. Ground Floor Theater had its first ever The Bulb Story Slam. It's a competitive storytelling event, very similar to The Moth. And it was a wild success. I was surprised to see so much storytelling talent here that I didn't know we even had. Bernadette Nason, who told a wonderful story.
She could tell a story.
But the other seven storytellers I had never seen before, and they were just almost all really beautiful. So that's going to be a monthly event at Ground Floor Theater. Hold on. Where's my notes? What I wanted to... the other thing that I want to talk about, Tilt Performance Group. Is anybody familiar
with
Tilt?
Love the Tilt.
Okay, Tilt Performance Group is a theater company that uses adult performers that are differently abled. And they perform. And they do amazing work.
They are awesome sauce. Yep. And
so
yes.
they have a show going on right now called I Wander. It's an immersive piece at Imagine Art on Real. You can get more information. This next weekend is their last weekend at tiltperformance.org. You got anything you want to talk
no,
about?
No, I had the tilt. You took my tilt.
I had the tilt. All right. Well, you can talk about Black Do Crack at Ground Floor Theater.
That is correct. Florinda Bryan's world premiere of her one-woman show she's written and performed is playing Black Do Crack. Opens tomorrow night at Ground Floor Theater, plays through March 2nd. For more information, groundfloortheater.org.
Couldn't have said it better myself.
Shazam.
Okay. Oh, you know what we need to do? All right.
Today in theater history.
But before we do that, Cesar, I want you to choose a number between 2 and 55.
Oh, yes.
31.
Okay, Cesar said 31.
31.
I'm gonna, without teaching her how, I'm gonna tell her to cue up 31 on this on that CD, and we'll play it in a second. We'll do today in theater history.
We will see who, what did you choose for the legal ID? It's magical. Okay. We like to show how the sausage is made on.
Yeah, so just push that button until what was the number again, Cesar?
31.
Until 31 comes up. All right. So in 1893, Amber, you remember that, right? Mm-hmm. Okay. This is the birthright of the playwright and producer Russell Crousey, or Krause, depending on if you has anybody.
Nothing.
No. He is a writer and librettist, and he did such librettos such as The Sound of Music, huh. Call Me Madam, and Anything Goes. Wow.
Well, I felt stupid.
He also wrote
1898.
I know. Because this 1893.
1893. I know, but you know, this beautiful mind will now mull it with crazy
he
facts.
He also wrote Life with Father, which I did not know this.
Really?
Is currently the longest running non-musical in Broadway history.
Isn't that amazing?
Even though even though
you think it's The Mousetrap?
No, that's in England. it opened the same year as Hamilton, about William Shakespeare, musical, off-the-wall funny.
Something Rotten.
Something Rotten, but that was a musical. Never mind. Okay.
A musical.
1973.
You didn't even
laugh. No, I didn't, because I want to make sure we have time to talk to people.
Okay.
There's nothing like a musical. 1973. At the Ritz Theater on Broadway, No Sex, Please, We're British opened.
Oh, yes. That's funny. 1973, it was really that. You saw, yeah.
Never saw it.
Well, because it only ran for 16 performances.
Oh.
But in London, it ran for almost 7,000.
Because they are British.
Because they are British.
Yeah.
Yes, Sex, We're British. In 1983, it's the birthday of one Jesse Mueller.
Oh.
Or Miller. Or Mueller.
83, really?
It's Mueller. I know.
It makes me
2003 is the very first performance, the off-Broadway run of Avenue Q.
Jish. They got it. They had to run out of their theater this week, too, because of the fire coming out of the manholes.
Fire. In 2014, Jason Robert Brown's Bridges of Madison County opened.
My girl is in it.
Pardon me? Yeah, Kelly O'Hara. Your girl, but not her girl.
I know.
I don't dislike her, the person. She does. I'm just not my favorite. But Stephen.
Her opening song in that.
Well, her co-partner, Stephen.
Stephen Pasquale.
Yeah.
Yes, he is from the Spring Lake, New Jersey.
There you
his
go.
Family live around the corner from mine.
All right. Okay. Other birthdays. Robert Altman. Lots of great birthdays today.
Yes.
Sidney Poitier.
Oh.
Or Portier.
Sidney Poitier.
Sandy Duncan. Lily Taylor. Oh, I love Lily Taylor.
I do love Lily Taylor.
And Ms. Lauren Ambrose.
Yeah, it really is it's an eclectic group of birthday folks.
It is.
Shall I say bon anniversaire?
Sure, say it.
Okay, bon anniversaire.
Okay, are we ready to play number 31?
31, what is it?
Come here. Come on, we should. You're going to push that button. Let's hear 31.
Hello, I'm Leroy Reams, and you are listening to Offstage and on the Air on KOOP Hornsby Austin, 91.7 FM. Oh, yes, I know the Care would love to be here. She, you know, I closed my last tour of Hello, Dolly in Austin when my dear Lady Bird was alive, and, you know, I made that song so famous by singing Hello, Lindy.
And it goes on. It's actually quite funny.
It's
I listened to
funny.
It today
it's
in
sad.
The car.
Two of those folks are gone now.
I know. All right. We're going to take a little break, and we're going to come right back And we're going to talk to Daniel Rowan, who's Act Theater's Hedwig and the Angry Inch. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and on the Air with Lisa, Rebecca, and Nicole.
It's just the three of us.
The three of us.
The three of us.
The three of us. There's nobody else here.
No one.
Nobody. But happening right now at Zach Theater is a little show called Hedwig, or Hedgewig and the Angry Inch. And here playing Hedwig is here in the studio. We're really honored to have Daniel Rowan. How are you?
Hi, doing well, thank you.
Well, I'm thrilled. So I can't imagine that anybody doesn't know anything about Hedwig and the Angry Inch, but what's Hedwig and the Angry Inch?
It's a very clean kids show that takes place on Goodnight Moon.
I mean, that was partially correct, I guess.
Totally. It's about a gay man growing up in communist East Berlin who has a botched sex change to be with the man that he loves and move and escape communist East Berlin in 1988, right before the wall falls. And it sort of details his life as he lives as a woman in America and becomes a rock star in mm-hmm. his own mind. And it sort of goes through like the telling of Plato's Symposium.
Ah, I didn't know about the Plato Symposium mm-hmm. part.
Yes.
Here you go. See?
I love this show.
I know you do. You've seen every single one.
I know. I love this show.
How is it to play Hedwig? What a fun... I mean, you work very hard in that show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I feel very grateful to be able to play this role. I think it's a lot of responsibility to play a role like this. It's exhausting, and she's taught me so much. I don't know. It's
so.
Just,
so one
I'm
of the
still
things,
exhausted from last week.
I can imagine. So one of the things I love about this show, it's really in terms of official, and I'm going to use air quotes, characters, it's a two-person play with Yitzhak mm-hmm. and Hedwig. But the band also plays some very important roles on stage as well.
Absolutely.
So it's really a five-character. Am I counting right? Six character?
Yeah,
how many
well,
people
six
in the band?
Actors. Well, let's see. Like, there's four people
four
in the band,
right?
And there's Yitzhak, and there's Hedwig. Hedwig plays about like five or six different characters.
Yes, yeah. What to, I mean, it is a lot of fun, and there Zach. That's it. Scenically, it travels around and does a lot of really fun things. So there's nothing. You're not want to for anything to look at there.
No.
I think there'd be hard with Hedwig in general.
That's mm-hmm. true. That's true. So what do you have any challenges with the role? Were you? I mean, you're a Broadway performer, correct?
Well, I'm a. I live in New York.
However you want to define that. I did not mean that in a pejorative way at all, believe me. But this is a very, you know, rock-based show, and that's uh-huh. that's flexing different muscles.
Oh, yeah.
Did you have those muscles already, or did you make them for this show?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I've discovered a lot about myself uh-huh. doing it, and I've surprised myself with some of the things that I've learned doing it. I guess the last, like, rock show I did was Jesus Christ Superstar.
Oh, that's right. You did it twice.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I did it twice.
Uh-huh. And did you play Jesus?
The first time I played uh-huh. Jesus. Second okay. time I played this guy named Annas. Can I say Annas?
Yes. Yeah.
Can I? May I say Annas?
Yes, you may.
It's a character in Jesus Christ Superstar. Which has this like crazy like high rock. He's a mm-hmm. priest. And I just came off of an opera in DC. So
oh wow!
It's a very very different.
That's a whole different thing.
That's gotta be a change, a gear change.
Yeah.
Are you
time.
Trained classically, or did you just pick that up?
I
mean, I can't imagine it'd be easy to pick up.
No, I think I was like the. I'm not trained classically. Mm-hmm. No. I have training though.
I was not insinuating otherwise, but very much
I'm not insinuating that you were insinuating.
I believe we can both understand who was insinuating what and at what time.
It was me.
But like I will say that like with
insinuation with, the musical
with rock singing and opera singing, those are very different genres, again, different muscles
yeah.
than what you would consider, I'll use air quotes, a Broadway uh-huh. singer, or excuse me, a New York singer. So I just, that's
what was
begged
the
question.
It was a new opera called Florida. It's a modern opera, cool. Directed by Kevin Newbery.
We call those modpras.
Mopras.
Mopras. Those modern operas.
I kind of like that.
And is this your first time to perform here in Austin, Texas?
It is, yeah. I'm loving it so much.
Do you love it?
Oh, my God. Austin is incredible. It feels like Portland, Oregon.
Yeah. it does not feel like Portland, Maine.
Here's my question. True. So you actually grew up in Texas.
Yeah, I grew up in Longview, Texas.
Did you think... You know, when you were off in New York having your theater career, I'm going to go back to Texas and play Hedwig.
Oh, my God. Because
it's just a combination to put together.
No, I mean, like I said, I feel so grateful. I mean, not many people get to play this role. And to be able to play it is incredible. And to be able to do it in Texas, it's also very cathartic to be like a gay person, to be a gay man, and to come back and show my family this, and to show Texas who I am. Whenever I grew up in Texas, being very closed up personally, to come back here, it's a major catharsis. Again, I use the word grateful a lot. I'm extremely grateful.
Well, good. Well, yeah. we are grateful you are here. How much longer in the run?
We're here until March 3rd.
March 3rd. Yeah. Awesome. And do you know where people can go to get information about this show?
Yeah, I think zacktheater.org.
That is right.
You are correct.
you are correct. It was a test the whole time. Daniel Rowan, thank you so much for being on Offstage and on the Air. And I'm trying not to say good luck anymore, and I haven't found the right thing to say, but best
good
wishes.
Good.
Well, you know,
best wishes.
Best wishes for the rest of your because you don't need luck. You're a pro.
Thank you. From your mouth to the universe.
Yeah, exactly.
The universe listens to this show. Thank you for being on the show.
Thank you so much.
That was Daniel Rowan. He's with Zach Theater's production of Hedwig and the Angry Inch by Stephen Trask and John Cameron Mitchell. It's playing at the Top for Stage in Zach Theater through March 3rd. For more information, zachtheater.org. And let's take a moment and listen to John Cameron Mitchell, who was the original Hedwig. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa and Nicole and Rebecca.
We are the people that you are listening to.
We are Offstage and On the Air. Yep.
The people.
Yep. We are the Bridges of Madison County. I don't know.
I am not that person.
Let's talk to Austin Shakespeare, shall we, who's getting their Tom Stoppard on right now.
Do love the Tom Stoppard.
Yeah. So we have co-host extraordinaire Ann Ciclella.
Thanks for having us.
Tamil. I'm going to try, but please don't yell at me if I get this wrong.
Oh, okay.
I had the accent. Tell me.
All right. Periasami.
Periasami.
Yeah.
Sorry, I'm sure I'm not the only one that has difficulty with your last name.
That's
funny. Maybe I am.
Definitely not.
So y'all are in the middle of your run for Indian Ink.
Yes, ma'am.
Tom Stoppard, tell us about Indian Ink.
Well, the funny thing is, Alex Lawford, you know, our managing director, keeps saying, it's Arcadia, because it does have two time frames. Arcadia is a play that Liz was in and did very successfully. And our audiences just love the Stoppard.
I will say this, that Arcadia was the show that... Nicole and I showed up at 8 o'clock for a 7:30
curtain. Oh, yeah, that happens.
Why did you have to rat us out? It was already in my head, but I was like, she's really not going to tell that story. But I am going to say this. Lisa said, Nicole, the show's at 8 o'clock. I'll pick you up at this time. So I just didn't even look and double check.
I take full blame.
Well, this show was at 7:30, y'all.
It was, but guess what?
No, I mean, this Indian Ink.
Indian Ink is at 7:30 at the Long Center.
So tell us about the show.
It takes place in two time frames, 1930 with Jill Blackwood as a sexy poet traveling through India, finding her way while she's, dying. So she's just amazing.
She is Jill Blackwood.
And her younger sister, Babs George, in 1980, looking back with other people who are trying to explore her history. So it's kind of fun. It shifts back and forth.
So it must be difficult to work with these B-level actors.
Yeah, they're great fun. And you know, the funny thing about the show is they're never together. I mean, this is something that in the Stoppard papers you read about. It's like there are these two wonderful women characters, but because 1930, 1980, they never actually meet. But in our production, they kind of do.
They kind of do. Okay. Well, yeah.
And we have six South Asian actors, so we're real happy.
Six what?
Six South Asian actors, South Indian actors, and the five of whom are from Austin. And we did a national search, Chicago, L.A., New York,
to find our leading actor, and we brought him to Tamil from Atlanta.
Ah, Hotlanta. I love Atlanta. Atlanta. Do you do a lot of work at the Alliance?
Yeah, I do, actually.
They do some good work there.
Yeah,
they do some great work. Yeah. And tell us about the role you're playing, Tamil.
Okay, the name of my character is Neeraj Das, and he is a painter in the 1930s India, you know, during the British Imperial rule. Mm-hmm. Who meets up with Jill Blackwood's character, Flora Crew, and they just develop a friendship, and I'm not going to spoil anything.
Don't spoil anything.
You know, something more than friendship. But the discussion that they have and what connects them is art, and not just British art, but also Indian art, and then also Indian art under the influence of imperial rule.
Oh. And we have a little speech.
Oh, you do? Great. Well, do you want to set it up at all?
I think it's pretty self-explanatory, but there is a conflict between the two characters over how much Indian should you be and how much British can you be.
Okay.
And Jill supports the side of you be more Indian. He's like, hit it, buddy.
Hit it, Tommy.
I like the pre-Raphaelites. Because they tell stories. That is my tradition too. I am Rajasthani. Our art is narrative art. Stories from the legends and romances. The English painters had the Bible and Shakespeare, King Arthur. We had the Bhagavata Purana and Rasika Priya, which was written when Shakespeare had his first play. And long before Chaucer, we had the Chaura Panchashika from Kashmir, which is poems of love written by the poet of the court on his way to his execution for falling in love with the king's daughter. And the king liked the poem so much that he pardoned the poet and allowed the lovers to marry. And the favorite book of the Rajput painters was the Gita Govinda, which tells the story of Krishna and Radha, the most beautiful of the herdswomen.
Excellent. That's just
awesome,
a beautiful speech.
It is very
beautiful. I will
speech,
tell
yeah.
you this, that if Tom Stoppard works at it, like if he really practices, he may go somewhere.
Maybe, yeah.
Mark, you heard it here first.
Breaking news.
Well, that's exciting. How have you found working on this role? Is there anything, has anything resonate with you, or is there anything that you've learned from it?
Where to start?
I should know. His eyes popped out of his head when you
yeah,
asked that
exactly.
question.
Well, fun fact, this is, I've done about, this is my 56th or 57th show in the 10 years I've been acting.
Mm-hmm.
This is the first time I've ever played my ethnicity.
Oh.
First time. I've done more roles playing an Irishman than I have playing Indian. And it brought along a lot of its challenges, especially with the play that is taking place in India, with characters that are not one-dimensional as Indian or Eastern, you know, Asian characters in general are depicted in Western theatrics. And there was so much, I'm not going to get too much into it, but it was so much in the sense of, because one of the themes of this is identity. And not just identity of yourself with respect to others, for example, my character with respect to other Indians, but how do you present yourself in front of another ethnicity that you don't deem them superior, but they deem you inferior.
Correct.
And that's,
so there's code switching going on.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. But even on a meta level, there's also, again, being born and raised here, it's very, tackling a role where, you know, I have to speak Hindi in some places and I don't know Hindi, you know, like it just to learn that and to also be as authentic as possible, because audiences, a good chunk of our audiences so far have been Indian.
Oh, yeah.
Well, there's a very large Indian population here in Austin.
Yeah.
60,000 South Asians.
Yeah. So to like put that all together on top of the lines and the character building, and it has been a very, very challenging role.
That's amazing. When two things strike out, come to me. One is just a more of a comment. I find it amazing that, because a lot of times people of an ethnicity are forced to only play that ethnicity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And usually, as you say, in a one-dimensional kind of way. Thankfully, that's changing little by little. I find it's interesting that this is the first time that you've played a character of your own ethnicity ever.
Yeah.
That's amazing to me.
But Tim Hiddleston, lots of Shakespeare and all.
Yeah, and that's one of the reasons I've gone down the Shakespearean tract is because that ethnicity does not matter, save for, you know, select characters, obviously. But overall, it does not matter too much.
Right. The other thing that occurred to me as you were speaking, and I forgot what it was. So there you go. Okay. I should write things down. I know what it is. And it's speaking to what you're saying, but a general thing about theater and acting in specific. What a gift to have that in your bag of tricks to do, because it allows you to then call on those things that, and then at the same time, you're giving to the audience a gift of this piece, you're giving yourself a gift of being able to explore those things in yourself and how you deal with other people and your own culture.
Mm-hmm. So there's a lot of exploration going on today, I love it.
we have talkbacks after every performance. Yes. Lots of fun, and people are the South Asian audiences have just been responding wonderfully. And you don't know how it's all gonna turn out when you take these ventures, but we've been really delighted with the attention that we've been getting.
And one thing a lot of the South Asian audiences have told me post Q&A, post talkback, has been the one scene that resonates to them, which is the scene, again, no spoilers, but the scene of the identity crisis.
Right.
Because for a good number of the South Asian Indian pop, as well as other ethnicities that have come here, or maybe their first or second generation, it's that crisis where there's an expectation, and I get that a lot too, an expectation to be Indian, and I literally have no idea what that means.
Right. Well, we always, and you know, some ethnicities and demographics more than others, are thrown. We have a bias against us or for us or however you want to word it that we have to either live up to or fight against.
Well, Sanjay Rao, who plays your son across time, who's a wonderful improv artist in Austin, one of the lines that Babs has to him initially is, "I thought you'd be more Indian."
There you go. So the last thing I want to ask you before we have to let you go is, the music that you're using is from a woman named
Nagavalli. Yeah.
She's
pretty spectacular.
She's done a few things with Shakespeare.
Well, she did our Bollywood 12th Night.
Okay.
Her music,
which I saw
years ago, 7 years ago.
I saw it. Yeah. I was there.
She's pretty fab. She just was at One World Theater with her new
filed
CD.
In the brain. Weird things filed in the brain.
Thank God the video is running right now. Nobody would have seen that. So that's great. So you're playing now.
We're playing now through March 3rd, and people can find more out at austinshakespeare.org about that and lots of other things.
Well, thank you guys so much for coming on the show.
Thank you.
And best wishes for the rest of your run.
Thank you.
Okay. That is Ann Chiklella and Tamil Periasamy. Periasamy.
Yes.
Oh, my gosh. I'm sorry.
You got a woo I know, in the I'm background.
Scared. There with Austin Shakespeare's Indian Ink by Tom Stoppard. Play now through March 3rd. For more information, you may visit austinshakespeare.org. I did not say it, but they are playing along here at the Rollins Stage. And let's listen to a little bit of Nagavalli so you know who we're talking about. I wanted to be. We are back. You're listening to Offstage and On the Air with Lisa.
And,
Nicole!
Guys, sorry, we're on the air.
That was very quick.
Yeah, we talk so much, we have very little time for anything else. Well, this was a fun show. It's nice to have you back.
It was.
Yep.
I know. And I don't like that we're breaking the band back up.
Yeah, the band is broken up. I am. Next week is our membership drive, so we hope you all call in and become members of the radio station, or come and up your support if you're not a member now, or if you're already a member. And Rebecca, how was your second day here at Offstage and On the Air?
I'm a button pushing fiend now. I got this.
Not only button pushing, you're a fader fading.
Yeah, I can fade. I can fade with the best of them now.
Well, I can say right now that you're doing really good. Nicole, you're on your you're here next week by yourself or with a co-host and Rebecca.
We're here.
You're here.
We're going to make magic happen.
And remember, it is again the membership drive.
So I'm waiting for all the people to call next week while we're on air.
Start calling right now, 472-5667. And that's that. So remember, you can like us on Facebook, you can tweet us, you can do all that stuff. You can get our podcast at offstageonair.com. How are they doing? I keep forgetting.
Best way is just to go to offstageonair.com, just enter your little email in the little box on the right, and when you hit enter,
We just appear in your mailbox each week.
Just appear
Shazam,
in your mailbox.
Shazam, we're there. The show's there. You don't have to go searching. It's all there.
And you get to hear things like backstage at Offstage. Say a few things to the folks.
I love you very much. Oh, I have something to say. I wanted to talk about King Kong. We haven't talked about this. I haven't seen you.
You have 20 seconds.
They're moving him to Japan.
Yeah, they're opening it in Japan.
I know. Yeah. He's perfect to go there. Yeah. I just, like, come on. He's a 21.5 million amazing animatronic puppet.
There
Forget
you go.
The rest
and
of it.
And you've seen it.
But I have. All right. But it's only about the puppet, but he's going to Japan.
Okay. We've got
it's
a roll.
Exciting.
We've got a roll. So... in honor of Ground Floor Theater's very first of the Bulb Story Slam, I'm playing this song from the Broadway hit, Oh Brother.
Love that old story, loved it then. Love to hear it new all over again.
But fellas, that's
but
not...
with variations twisted about...
The curtain has just come down on Level Check, the musical. Story of a group of people that don't know their... ass from a hole in the ground. And we can say ass because this is the podcast.
Yeah, they like to
can say whatever we want. Anyway, the show is done. We're outside the backstage door. We're standing out here by the dumpsters because it's been raining or standing in puddles of liquid that we don't know what the heck it is.
No, but we like to stand in.
We like to stand in them. So here joining us from the show, we have a great group. We have Beth Burns. Hi,
Hello.
Beth.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
I love that you are here. Have you been backstage before?
I have. It's been a while, though. Yeah.
And Tamil Periyas. Now I'm just paranoid. Periyasamy.
Oh, no, Periyasamy, yeah.
All right. Well, that okay.
When you didn't think about it. You
know, I know. I know. It's like I just get... I want to pronounce people's names properly, and it's hard. I wish I didn't care. And for that, I'm going to just say Cesar Osorio.
No. Oh, yeah.
Cesar Osorio. welcome to backstage. Oh, and we have the other name that I have a hard time with, Rebecca Melanson.
Very good.
Yeah,
very
we.
Very good.
We. So... That's my.
You were just hilarious today.
But remember, looks on everything. Oh. So when you talk, you need to get right up on that microphone, there, young lady.
I did.
I know, but you didn't. Tamil, you live in Atlanta now?
Yes, I do.
Okay, great. And so I have a gift of just knowing things. Like I happen to know that you've been doing theater for 10 years.
Wow, that's impressive. Yeah. I don't even know what to say.
Yeah. So you've been doing theater for 10 years. So how did you grow up in Atlanta?
No, I actually went to Atlanta for school.
Uh-huh.
So I grew up, I guess, across the country, a couple of different states, but I guess around elementary school time, I settled around in Charlottesville, Virginia.
Oh.
And that's where I stayed all the way through, I guess, end of high school.
Oh.
And then went to Georgia Tech for college.
And that's in Atlanta.
And that's in Atlanta.
I was just about to say, where in Atlanta did you go? Because there's a plethora of schools to say.
Yes, yes. And of course, being an actor, I went to the one non-liberal arts university.
What was your major?
I majored in aerospace engineering with a minor in psychology.
Those two are very like-minded fields.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. So, well, how
do you choose those?
Well, Well, I guess for me, I'm a big Star Trek fan. Mm-hmm.
Who isn't really?
Yeah, you know, I grew up when Next Generation was, you know, was episodic.
My brother and I at least once a week have talk about how Next Generation was the bomb. That was underestimated. It was the bomb, like always.
Yeah,
so I'm
still
on the same page.
Yeah, it still is. It still is the bomb. I've like rewatched all 7 seasons about like 8 times at this point.
Wow.
But because of that, that really got me into space travel, got me into airplanes, and that led me to pick aerospace engineering and specifically Georgia Tech
cool.
at the time.
Do you have your pilot's license?
That is on my to-do list.
Okay,
oh,
cool.
You okay?
Yeah,
okay.
I've got a lot of things. So
Lisa, when
nothing.
We go to space camp, he should be in our mission.
Yeah, we're going to go to space
camp. We are going to go yes. to space camp. You can do adult space
so
camp.
How does yes. one find their way from aerospace engineering and psychology into theater?
Okay, well, it started with basically I was told by my senior design professor that I had issues presenting. So okay, well, we all have issues. Yeah, exactly. But things about like nerves, my voice just becoming flat out monotonous, just kind of like not being able to, you know, like eye contact, like the stuff that is important when you're trying to defend a or trying to like get a grant
right.
for like a space research project. So one of the things he recommended was looking around and seeing if there are theaters and just do a show or two to at least get out of my shell, and that will help my presentation skills. And Georgia Tech does not have a theater like department, but they have a club that does theater.
Was it called a drama club?
It was called Drama Tech, actually. So it was, of course, going to a technical school.
Of course.
And of course, the technical side of theater was mainly their focus in terms of the club.
Oh.
So
were your shows like just techalicious?
I'm appreciating that word right now. But yes, they really were. I mean, we did a show where we had Mike, remember Xbox Kinect? Mm-hmm. I still think it's a thing. I don't.
Yes, it does exist.
Okay. Yeah, but like where it captured motion captures and you can like control characters.
Lisa, you played Fruit Ninja on it at my house.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So we did a show called oh gosh, I don't even remember because it's been so long ago, but we had the actors control projections of characters through their own motion. Cool. So they would tell a story with they would say lines, but they'd be telling a story with their hands, and that would be captured by a bunch of tech and cool. Project differently. So that's and I did quite a few shows there, and then moved on to the professional side of Atlanta.
Cool. And how is the theater community in Atlanta? And how and can you make a comparison to the theater community in Atlanta to the theater community here? And you guys, feel free to chime in if you want to say anything.
Gosh, I think Zach Theater has been compared to Alliance quite a bit, and mm-hmm. I agree after seeing how it works. It's sort of like the umbrella theater organization for
the Alliance is Lort and Zach. Will soon be Lord.
Will soon be Lord. That's mm-hmm. what I heard. Yeah.
Yeah.
I actually do a lot of work with Atlanta Shakespeare. I actually did my acting apprenticeship there. And I would actually compare them to Austin Shakespeare a good deal in the sense that they do a mix of Shakespeare and sometimes classic work like Crucible or Tom Stoppard or there's a good potpourri of shows. I guess the one difference is that Atlanta Shakespeare does about 14 shows a year.
Wow.
So we do once a month, and we follow original practice. So, you know, things like Set and Lights are already, they never change. But
oh, okay. Yeah. Well, that makes it a little easier.
A little easier, yeah.
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 It's still a lot, though.
That's a lot. We're having trouble doing three a year.
Yeah, yeah.
Can I dig in there? So I've met some of the people at Atlanta Shakes. They're super nice. I met them at the Shakespeare Theater Association conferences. Oh, okay. I was not aware that they were doing original practices. In what ways do you guys, what definitions do you use?
Okay, yeah, because different, I guess different Renaissance theater companies utilize different forms of original practice. What the Shakespeare Atlanta Shakes uses is sort of, the audience is a part of the show. But not in the sense of like, you know, improvising with them or something like that.
No, they're like the groundlings.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's sort of there is no fourth wall. The audience is a part. So if you are Hamlet contemplating existence and you look out into the audience is not just, it's not just a blank wall that you're looking at. The audience might, you might be interpreting the audience as the demons, or you might be interpreting the audience as even just an audience, like the just you're in the middle of a crowd.
Would you stop and offer them a glass of water?
would you Gyllenhaal them?
Actually, yeah. Actually, if that were to happen, and a show I've done about half a dozen shows there at this point, but there have been times where someone sneezes. And a character will be in the middle of a monologue or in the middle of a dialogue scene, and they'll turn and be like, bless you.
Oh, okay.
Or, you know, or
that could be fun.
Yeah.
It's direct address appropriate.
Yeah. Direct address, yeah. And also, and the thing is, and this is why I was like, look, I totally agree with you with the whole Gyllenhaal thing.
Thank you.
Unlike
I think I won him over in the end.
I think you did. it's the fact that I would have done something similar, but I would have been in character. Like, that. And that's, again, because I've done,
yeah,
you know, and of course I wouldn't have gone to that extent, because as soon as the audience member said, I'm fine, keep going, that is my cue to continue doing my job.
One would think.
You know, like, yeah. I think that went too far in Gyllenhaal's case.
Yeah.
Oh, gosh. Hopefully Jake Gyllenhaal don't
he hate. Listens to the podcast.
Yeah. I've been hearing.
He's over here texting me. That's my moment.
He and his sister listen to it together. They sit around the old Victrola and listen. Cesar, what's your story?
Yeah. So I'm a musician, and mm-hmm. I've been on the Austin.
There's a few of those in Austin.
There's a few, so I have to try to mix it up to make myself a little bit more unique. And specifically, what I do as often as I can is participate in theater productions with Miss Beth Burns as cool. often as I can. Oh. She's the best.
She is
the
best. Lucky.
The very, very best.
Thank you.
I think her middle name might be Best. I'm not sure. Check Wikipedia that one. Specifically, what I do in terms of music in Austin is I am very involved in the cumbia Latin scene. I might go so mm-hmm. far as to say what we're hoping is an upsurge of Colombian culture here in Austin. So,
awesome.
That's everything from restaurants that are popping up to just bringing that sound and making it kind of an Austin standard, if you will. One thing that I've noted over the years is that there really aren't any venues or there aren't many venues where you go, that's the cumbia place.
Right.
They tend to be places like, you know, like a reggae spot or an old dive that hosts a lot of these even big names that come through town or playing like in Round Rock and whatever, wherever, you know, no real like specific. And so that's something that I'm very interested in is helping to promote. And also just sort of through my own music and through my own projects, really creating a community for Latin American acts to come into Austin, and also for the community within Austin to kind of, you know, rise up and say, hey, we're here and we're here to make things like tastier.
You know? Have you found that that there's I would assume that in the past 20 years or so, there's been a rise in the understanding of Latinx music and the different varieties of music, the difference between cumbia and other things, that I will just admit that I'm like completely, because I'm musically ignorant across genres, so it's not just that. But
equal,
you know,
opportunity.
Once upon a time, you know, we would have said, you know, somebody from Texas would hear any kind of Latinx music and go, that's, you know, Mexican music. Have you found it a lot more? Have you found that the, and this is the wrong thing to say, but the intelligence of your audience has increased a little bit over the years?
Absolutely. It never ceases to surprise me how knowledgeable, if I may be so bold.
You may.
One random gringo that you run into at a show who stands out because of their ability to pick up on the music and dance. And then they, you know, they come up to you and say, hey, was that a cumbia you were playing? Because they want to, you know, kind of demonstrate that they're hip and they're kind of in tune with everything. So yes, absolutely. The intelligence of the audience in across the board in terms of culture, whether it's food, whether it's, you know, music, even theater productions, I've kind of noticed there's been an upsurge where Austin is really welcoming a lot of the Latinx, you know, people.
Absolutely.
And I was just having this conversation yesterday talking about different foods, the Peruvian and Colombian and Argentinian, and I was like, this whole Latin America, I was like, it's different. And I was just having a conversation with a group of Latinx folks, and we were just talking about how you never saw the difference being in Texas. Everybody's like, oh, it's Mexican. It's like, no. And they're Spanish. And you see the difference now. And as someone who's been in New York for years and Chicago for years, you know what? You miss that here. You miss having all those different flavors. Now you see it all the time, and it's kind of exciting. And it's
absolutely
kind of awesome.
Yes.
Can
I
like pop in really quick and just
please
say that Caesar has been enriching Hidden Rooms theater productions since we started. And he came in through a friend, Austin Alexander, and, you know, was quiet and came in and just was a remarkable guitar player. And then I started realizing his instincts for theater and storytelling were so intensely good that I'm able sometimes to just like give him a look and he'll be like, oh, I know what you want. And he'll improvise things for us during the shows, during rehearsals. He knows exactly what is needed. And he's got he's been coming out after the show to sing these amazing Colombian folk songs that make me misty-eyed because I love them. So he's so talented. And you, Cesar, am I crazy? You have an EP that you're coming out with as well, don't you?
Indeed, I do. I do have, and I woke up today and was surprised to have felt butterflies about that. I didn't expect that, didn't see that coming, but as if it were a show that I'm about to present. My EP releases tomorrow, actually.
Oh, so. My. Where can Yay. People get information about that?
So people can get information. Check this out. My full name is Cesar Augusto Osorio. So if you translate, that's Cesar Augusto Osorio.
Okay. And at two?
Sorry?
Et tu, Caesar, never mind.
So, and I probably have like three other last names that I don't even know about. But I had this website, right, that's my full name. And I was taking a look at it and I go, that's just not going to work. People aren't going to be able to. So basically where you can get more info is caesarsmusic.com.
Wow, caesarsmusic.com.
That's what it is.
And what's the name of your EP?
The EP is called Gone.
Gone. Awesome. Well, best of luck with that.
Thank you so much.
That's an incredible. And Beth Burns.
Hey.
Where are you from?
From Houston, Texas.
Are you?
Mm-hmm.
What high school did you go to?
I went to Westchester and then I went to Memorial. Are you from Houston?
Have we talked about this before? I graduated from Memorial in 1976.
Lisa, no.
You went to Memorial. Did you did you have a key to the Aqua Wing elevator?
No, I never got a key, unfortunately. No, but I remember the Aqua Wing well.
Yeah, well, who doesn't? That's great. We are high school mates. So Yay. Did you take drama there in Memorial High School?
I did. I took drama.
Was R.L. Cook still the teacher?
No.
Okay, good. You're lucky.
Caroline Herrera was a lovely woman.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and then I went to University of Houston where I studied. I was a theater major, studied playwriting with Edward Albee.
Heard of him?
Yeah, he was all right. And and because of him, I switched over from acting as a primary focus to playwriting.
Well, so how? Because he's a little bit of an exacting playwright, and somewhat of a curmudgeon. I hear
he was a curmudgeon. Yeah,
yeah. And I know that when we did the play about the baby, there were rumors came down to him that we had changed something, which we hadn't, mm-hmm. And we got inundated with Albiites coming in to check on us. So how was he to work for? He was very, in terms of his pieces, yeah. You could not change a thing, intent, words, or anything.
I'm really quite lucky. For some reason, Mr. Albee and I really hit it off quite well. And and I'm not
well,
exactly...
if you hit it off really well, you'd be calling him Eddie.
No, nobody called him Eddie. Do you know, I watched somebody call him Ed once, and he would do his squint and sniff, and he'd go, it's Edward.
Oh.
It was very sweet. But he and I used to lunch together
that's great.
After you class probably, constantly.
Do you have a story about those days that you would want to share with our audience?
Sure. I mean, I have a lot of them. I think one of my favorites is that I was really... Here we go.
Let's do it.
So I just started saying, you know, Mr. Albee, may I tag along with you? He said, come on then. And we would go down to the University of Houston satellite for lunch. And I would just ask him questions. And one day I was feeling particularly sad. I was broke and hungry. And he said, why aren't you eating anything? And I said, I'm fine, sir. I'm just not hungry. He goes, don't lie to me. And I said, I don't have any money, but I'll eat later. And he's like, he goes over and he grabs a tray and he kind of slams it down and he starts putting things on my plate that I don't like, but I ate it anyway.
Well, of course.
And he bought my lunch and we sat and we talked and he was just asking me about things in general. And I happened to tell him that I was feeling quite sad because my life was so good and I was afraid that things would never get better. And I thought, I have a boyfriend that I love and my parents are alive and I have my health and all these things. And he goes, how interesting. I'm writing a play about this very thing right now. Keep talking. And so I kept talking. And then 2 years later, I realized that he'd written me into Three Tall Women. I have a monologue.
My. Wow. So did you go to New York and see it?
No.
Last season?
I saw it.
Well, it was here.
I saw it in Houston.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay.
The version that I believe he directed. It was beautiful.
Oh, that's amazing. What a great story.
Oh, I loved him so much. He was very dear to me. Yeah.
He will. Yeah, and he will be missed. But he lived a long life, and he had a prolific career. Clearly,
he did, and he was just a lovely man. Yeah, he was a grumpy man. He didn't suffer fools. But luckily, he liked people who were honest.
It's a good thing he and I didn't meet because he would not suffer me because I am the biggest fool.
No, he would have loved you.
I would have called him Eddie.
Oh dear.
And then I would have. Never mind. I was about to go somewhere I shouldn't have gone, so I didn't. So in our last few moments here backstage, Rebecca. Okay, you're here. We never had a time to talk to you. We talked a little bit to you last week about your work. Tell us about your life. Do you have any theatrical? Is there anything? Do you have any kind of theatrical background?
No.
Okay. But I think my life is pretty theatrical.
Well, there you go.
Day in and day out.
Well,
always.
You may not know this, but all the world is a stage.
Oh, absolutely. There it is.
Well, great. So where did you grow up?
I grew up in New Orleans, and it was a wonderful place to grow up. Listening to this conversation about what people are called, I've had people ask me, does anyone ever call you Becky? And I say, only once. Because that doesn't happen.
Okay.
But I also lived all over the country. I spent 8 years in the Ozarks living without running water and 2 years without electricity. So it kind of set me up for life because I learned how to do everything.
God love you. Well, I have a similar story. My internet went out the other day.
Yeah, well, that's worse. That's even worse. You know, we can haul water. What do you do?
You don't. Internet? Well, actually, you do. You read, which is interesting. It was a great 24 hours. Anyway, we're plumb out of time. We gotta leave. Thank you guys for joining us here backstage.
Yeah,
it's been
a
great conversation.
Us. Super fun.
And Beth, we have roots.
We do.
We
fellow classmates.
Yes. All right, you guys. Adios.
Adios.